Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to Conspiracy, the show, the world's most trusted conspiracy theory podcast, with your hosts, Adam Todd Brown and Olivia Haidar.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Conspiracy, the show. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host this week, we got a guest co-host, John Lewis is here. How's it going, John?
All right. What up, though, y'all? I'm back.
This is going to be an exciting episode. We're covering a story that is all over the news right now, but John is the first person to have messaged me about it. So here we are. We're talking about the Boeing whistleblower suicide. People can't see the air quotes. I just did, but this is a fishy story.
And I feel like this story is a good gauge for how much of a bootlicker you are. If you don't find this one suspicious, you just trust the media and the government way too much.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And one of the stories that we'll link to, there's a lot of people covering this right now, but the story we're going to link to is from a site called prospect.org. Writer is named Maureen Tukasik, something like that. And I don't mean to just single this article out, but I do think it is a pretty good example of how the media tends to cover stuff like this, where all of the details really do kind of point to this being suspicious, but people are so reluctant or so concerned about being called a conspiracy theorist that they just have to interject at some point and be like, well, I personally don't think Boeing would commit this murder. And it's like, motherfucker, yeah, they would. What are you talking about? Well,
also, I'm just curious if that a lot of that could have to do with being found liable, stuff like that, you know, because they are writing for a big corporation and stuff like that.
Right.
Because, you know, our legal system is a mess.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it above Boeing to hit some reporter with a slap lawsuit or something like that, you know?
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. So let's talk about this story. The guy's name was John Barnett. He was a whistleblower at Boeing. And what I really dislike about the article that we'll link to is, again, they point out all these things that seem to point to murder. And then she's like, well, I don't think Boeing would have planned this murder because there's all these other whistleblowers in the same area. And why not kill them also? But then later in the article, they address their own concern when they point out that unlike most whistleblowers, who you get fired and you just get escorted out of the building without access to your files, John Barnett left Boeing with everything. He kept meticulous records about all of the claims he was making so he could prove that they were true. So if you're one of those skeptics out there who's going to push back with, okay, well, there were a lot of Boeing whistleblowers and none of them died. For one thing, that part where he left with documents. He didn't just see shit. He had shit.
Yeah, this guy, he knew where the bodies, you know, figuratively speaking, he knows where the bodies are buried. He got like the type of stuff that you can make entire documentaries about instead of just some, you know, whatever level person talking to the human resources or something. This guy was kind of OCD with it, but he turned out to be right about everything also.
Yeah. And given what's going on with Boeing right now, he's arguably the worst possible person that could come forward, at least as far as Boeing is concerned, because everything happening with them is surrounding claims that they really cut their quality assurance standards within their manufacturing plants. And that's the last thing you want when you're building machines that keep hundreds of people afloat in the sky. And this guy, John Barnett, was the head of the department that oversaw the workers who built the planes. So he was at the very top of the quality assurance chain. And if anyone is going to know about what Boeing was getting up to, it would be him. So I don't care if there's a lot of other whistleblowers. This guy is the perfect target for a murder in a situation like this.
Yeah, and with him being in that, and the notes he sent over, Boeing was like, yeah, well, we don't really think the quality assurance department is that important. That's like the police department saying, well, you know, we think we can cut down on internal affairs.
Yeah. When,
for one, I don't know if this exists in other countries, but it really seems like jobs like this should be third party. The company shouldn't even be able to be in control of their own quality assurance. Because then they can just be like, nah, we'll just look aside.
And in this case, you can't even really trust the government to be the ones who step in and make Boeing take responsibility for what they've done. Because one of the other aspects of this Boeing scandal is that the government, especially the Department of Justice, has clearly been doing their best to keep Boeing from being prosecuted or facing any consequences. And it's because Boeing isn't just a private company. It's also a huge government contractor. They make a lot of our weapons that we use to go to war. They make our jets that we use to go to war. So the government has been super lenient toward them. So yeah, you're right. It's got to be some kind of independent third party. It can't just be, oh, well, the government will step in and help us in this situation. No, they won't. No, they won't.
Yeah. And also at that point, ideally, it could be the government. But when people have been saying this for years, but corporations are the ones that run America. So at that point, who do you even whistleblow to? What, you got to go to the United Nations, I guess? Like,
yeah.
What? Who could he even talk to? Because it's a saying, but the corporations literally do run America. We see a news story every other week. I think it was about this. Some person on the Supreme Court or some high ranking political person, they sold all of their stock like a month before all of this shit came out. It was only $50,000, but still.
Still. Yeah. Yeah. That's shady. That's really shady. This, I put this in the notes and people are going to have to bear with me while I explain. This is Jeffrey Epstein in the sky, Boeing. It's not the same kind of crimes, obviously, but you see the same thing here that you saw with Jeffrey Epstein, where for the longest time, the government either just ignored what was happening or actively tried to avoid prosecution over what was happening. And eventually they hit a point where, all right, the news around this is too intense. We're going to have to take some kind of action. And with Jeffrey Epstein, that meant he got this insane plea deal where he just had to, I think, plead guilty to misdemeanor, and he got house arrest. Even then, he didn't stay at his house. And eventually, his victims found out about that, and they sued the government because they were supposed to be informed if the government reaches a plea deal. And not only did the government not inform them, they reached this plea deal that basically let him walk. Same thing happened here. A Boeing 737 crashed 5 years ago, killed everyone on board. There was a lot of talk about the cause of that crash being Boeing's shitty quality standards. And there was a lawsuit filed, and eventually the government let Boeing off with what is called a deferred prosecution agreement. And all that means is, for the next 3 years after they hit Boeing with that, Boeing was required to comply with any government investigations. That's all the repercussions Boeing got over this 737 crash that killed hundreds of people. And same thing, the victims' families found out and they sued the DOJ for access to the files that would explain this decision to close the Boeing case. And they so far are not winning. The government has done their best to keep that information from coming out. And Another thing I hate about this Prospect.org article, which it is very informative. It tells you everything you need to know about the John Barnett case. But they also mention that they themselves just did an article about all of the, and this is a quote, incestuous links between the lawyers responsible for that Epstein settlement and the lawyers involved in this Boeing settlement. And then they follow that up by calling anyone who might find that weird conspiracy theorists. Who the fuck wouldn't find that weird?
Right. It's weirder for them to put that in there than to just say, I don't know. Yeah. What other conclusion y'all expect people to come to?
Yeah.
And it's not like this one isn't even that big of a leap. Literally everybody reading is like, so yeah, they definitely killed that guy, right?
Right. And like, so, yeah, those are obviously the lawyers the government sends when they're trying to protect assets. Obviously. It doesn't even seem like a conspiracy theory. And that brings us to the next part of the John Barnett story that makes him so different and that makes it so likely that he could have been murdered. After that door blew off that 737 earlier this year, things got really hot for the Department of Justice because people, after they had really just let Boeing slide over this 737 crash 5 years ago, that got brought back into the spotlight after that door incident. So then the Department of Justice, probably very begrudgingly, opened an investigation into Boeing's culpability for that door mishap. So everything John Barnett was talking about in this deposition was being revealed in a much different climate than other whistleblowers were working in. Now Boeing really is facing government repercussions, and it makes it kind of the perfect situation where a guy like this would be killed. He has the receipts to prove his claims, and oops, he shoots himself in the head a day before he was going to get vindication. He had one more day of giving depositions, and then the trial was set to start in June. He had reached the fucking finish line, and now he kills himself.
Right. And some other smaller details on those notes you sent over also. What Boeing had been doing to save money is they moved one of their plants to South Carolina, right?
Yeah, they moved it to South Carolina.
Yeah, a non-union factory, because before they had union machinists, and people that have worked in union versus non-union places may not really, I mean, that haven't worked may not know the difference. In a union plant, I worked in a union plant, you have things set up X amount. They have to give you a break. It's more enforced. Y'all can't push us over this number. So in that non-union factory, they probably were just working the people like crazy. They may not have had this people who have to check the quality and stuff, because at that point, they're more focused on, you know, profit as far instead of quality. And
yeah,
Boeing is probably like pretty much every other company in this America. It's probably owned by BlackRock or some other venture capital, you know, some fund or something like that, where the whole thing is profit instead of safety.
Yeah, you're right. They were overworked. And it's one of the things John Barnett said in his filings about Boeing, because his job was to oversee a team of quality assurance inspectors who then oversaw the mechanics who were building the planes, basically. And when he was working in, I believe it was Washington, where they were before, these people he oversaw, they were responsible for overseeing a group of about 10 to 12 workers each. Once they moved to South Carolina, that went to about 50 to 55 mechanics each, which mistakes are going to happen when you put that kind of extra workload on people, but don't expand the number of people doing it. That's right. Just and common sense.
Yeah, and also things like that is why union jobs in America are so expensive, because even if you make a mistake as a non-union worker, you may be afraid to even say something. But as opposed to a UAW job, you know, you have an incentive to say, hey, we need to stop the line, or we did this or that. And, you know, your job is at least protected to an extent. It's the reason why Tesla's has such bad quality compared to all of these other brands. Tesla's aren't union. They don't have any union factories. I'm pretty sure they're the only American car company that's not UAW, unless it's some of these other small ones. But yeah, the UAW is a reason, you know, of course, everybody has recalls, but it's a reason Ford and them has been in business for hundreds of years, that protection.
Yeah, it's a thing we used to have with a lot of jobs in this country. It really was Reagan breaking that air traffic controller strike in the 80s. Once he did that, that just really got the ball rolling on gutting unions.
Oh, yeah.
In this country. What's interesting is this Boeing scandal also kind of reminds me of the Albuquerque PD. The Albuquerque PD, for the longest time, was one of the most violent police forces in America. Per capita, they killed more people than the NYPD, Chicago PD, LAPD, I think, which is shocking. And it all came down to the fact that at one point, they got all this extra budget money to hire cops, and no one wanted to be a cop in Albuquerque because Albuquerque is a lawless nightmare. And so what they started doing was cutting their standards in terms of hiring. And they put this rule in place where if you left your last cop job in good standing, then they wouldn't do a background check if you applied at the Albuquerque PD. They would just hire you. And what they ended up getting were a lot of cops who were dirty cops who were just like allowed to leave their departments instead of being fired. So there was nothing on their record that showed they had been disciplined in any way. So Albuquerque didn't check. And they got this one class of recruits that were just unhinged fucking lunatics. And with this story at Boeing, it's not quite that, but when they moved to South Carolina to get around the machinist union, the thing about where they were before, machinists would move there so they could work for Boeing because there was a union and right. It was a good job. Where they moved to in South Carolina, there weren't machinists. So they were hiring, according to John Barnett's words, people who were flipping burgers the week before. And it was his job to train these people to not only build planes, but also inspect the people building planes. Nuts.
Yeah, and you're not about to relocate as a machinist to some other state with a non-union job. You can just, if I'm a relocate with someone, you know, with a company that has the best benefits.
Yep.
And also to backtrack a little bit, that ABQ, the Albuquerque police, they got a whole nother scandal that's actually still folding, that's still coming out.
Oh, yeah?
Because I just dropped. Yeah, I guess I'll early plug myself, but I just dropped a new video about why police corruption never changed. And I was trying to look up that story because I remember you talking about it years ago. Mm-hmm. And Google was like, well, how about this? We got a brand new story for you. Like four or five police and a lawyer just got their homes raided by the FBI because they had some DUI scandal going on. And it was so weird. I had to read like three articles to find out because it's still detailed. So essentially what was happening is they would pull people over for DUIs and then they had some deal with a judge where when it was time to go to court, they would just not show up. And I guess the judge was paying them. But also because of this, they just threw out 150 people DUI cases because they wouldn't say it in the article. But it sounds like the police were like, hey, either you can pay me now or I'm charging you for a DUI or something. I couldn't get all of the details because it's literally the raid literally happened a week or two as I was writing the article. But yeah, so Albuquerque police, they like that. They like one of those things that you don't expect to win the March Madness. But, you know, they going to come out of nowhere. If we do on the top four worst police departments, they got a good chance of winning it.
Yeah, Albuquerque would be way up there. It's crazy. And so, yeah, back to Boeing, this John Barnett guy, he voiced all of these complaints and concerns and was just ignored. And then that 737 crashed 5 years ago and lots of people died. And now John Barnett is dead too. And man, if you don't think that is suspicious, you are the government. This is so, so suspicious. And if you will link to articles about this, if you read deeper into it, there are people who knew John Barnett, his lawyers talk in these articles, and they're all like, man, he was right at the finish line. He was about to get vindication for everything he'd been saying all these years. It makes no sense that he would commit suicide. He was doing this deposition. He had apparently the first day it went really well. Second day it didn't go that great. They took a break. Or they broke for the day at 6 p.m. They were going to come back the next morning. John Barnett left, went to a Taco Bell drive-thru, as one does if you're about to commit suicide. Then went to his hotel. His lawyers are trying to call. They can't reach him. And they ask someone at the hotel to go check. And that's when they find him dead. So soon after he bought Taco Bell that there was still condensation on his cup. And here's
how do they say he committed suicide again?
Shot himself in the head.
So nobody in the hotel heard a loud ass gunshot to call the police while they were looking for this man?
What they claim is that it was raining. And so they
get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
We've heard it couldn't have been raining that hard muffle a gunshot.
Yeah, I've heard
in a hotel room.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was actually in his truck, which would have made it even easier to hear.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. I think this guy was murdered. It doesn't. I mean, it's.
Yeah. Murder or one of those cases where a forced suicide, they like either you do this or it's going to be your family or something like that, you know, which is basically second degree suicide. I don't know what you would call that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it. This is a thing. I always think of this kind of stuff when people are like, oh, Russia murders journalists. I don't know how many people saw the title of this episode, but it's the 5 most suspicious whistleblower deaths since 2020. This is all just within the past 4 years that all of these people who have come forward and said that something was going on, no matter what they were reporting on, all these people turn up dead from suicide.
And also, yeah, Russia murders journalists, but so does America and also civil rights activists. So
yeah, absolutely. And even with the Russia thing, we immediately, especially in the media, we always jump right to, well, Putin murders journalists. And I don't know that the government would have killed John Barnett, but I could see rich people with a vested interest in Boeing having John Barnett killed. And the same thing in Russia. Sometimes it might be Putin, but sometimes it's just fucking oligarchs that some investigative reporter got on the wrong side of. And then they have him killed.
Yeah. I mean, we know, like I said, in America, the corporations run it. We have countless examples of corrupt police. Stuff like this, you know, it's not like it's not exactly a Tom Clancy book or something like that when these things happen. It's been happening forever.
Yeah.
I'm probably... If we're doing a rankings, I probably only person I could see that's believes more real. I would say I believe probably the most realistic conspiracies after you. I was going to say, what's the name? But also the whole John Lennon thing is ridiculous. So
but which part of it?
That he's a clone? I don't believe a single.
Paul McCartney thing.
Yeah, I keep getting them mixed up. Yeah, whose conspiracy is that?
I mean, that's a conspiracy that's been around since the 60s. It's Kim Kroll that super duper.
Yeah, Kim Kroll. I was going to say she might be the only person I think that believes more conspiracies, but I think I believe the most realistic ones because that's still one of the funniest episodes ever heard on this network. The whole talking point is who makes up rumors? What?
Everybody.
And especially bored people in college.
Yeah. All right. This next one, Valentin Brugschmidt. This one, I feel like I'd probably heard of it and just forgot. But back when Trump was in office, one of the myriad investigations into his behavior included one that involved his relationship with Deutsche Bank, which is a German bank. They were his lender of choice for years and years and years. And as various investigations into them revealed, they were also essentially a criminal organization for years and years and years. Probably still are. I'm sure they just paid a fine and got to keep doing it. But among the misdeeds they were accused of, manipulating markets, evading taxes, bribing foreign officials, violating international sanctions, defrauding customers, and laundering money for Russian billionaires. So,
otherwise known as a regular bank.
Yeah. So just a straight up bank. Makes sense why Trump made them his bank of choice. Criminals are probably by that point the only ones who would loan money to Trump. I know a lot of banks in the U.S. way before he became president had stopped giving Trump money because he doesn't pay it back.
Because Trump, by this time, he was basically a washed-up NBA player. He's good enough to go play in Europe or Greece or something, just not the NBA. And right. That's basically what his bank was. You can make good money, but you're not NBA quality. So he has had to go find, because what they, that list of things they did is chase pretty much every other bank in America, I'm sure, is doing it.
Right.
They just were like, yeah, we're not going with Trump.
And as things were unraveling around Deutsche Bank, a senior executive there, Bill Brokschmidt, committed suicide by hanging. And shockingly, that is not what we are here to talk about. Although there was a highly suspicious string of deaths among people involved in that investigation. But after his death, a treasure trove of internal Deutsche Bank documents fell into the hands of his son, Valentin Brokschmidt. And this included files involving Deutsche Bank's relationship with Trump. And I think Valentin's failing here was it seemed like he didn't just want to be a whistleblower. He wanted to be a celebrity about it.
Exactly. I put in my notes, it's like he was planning his Disney trip before the Super Bowl even started.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, dude, you doing victory laps. Why don't you put it out? Who the hell does an interview before you whistleblow?
Yeah.
I'm going to be the next American whistleblower. They're going to make movies and documentaries about me. Dude.
That's a quote. He said that. He said, yeah, I want to be the next great American whistleblower. That's not a thing, dude.
Right. Who was the first American whistleblower? I can't think of nobody. I mean, the guy that told about the CIA smuggling coke, but still.
Yeah, Gary Webb, Daniel Ellsberg, the guy who published the Pentagon Papers, maybe.
They're not exactly famous.
Yeah. They don't have shoe contracts and shit. They're just dead.
Right. Honestly, this guy was asking for it the most.
He really was.
When you whistleblow, it's supposed to come out and then we find out about you. We aren't supposed to know about you counting down like that shit is an album drop. Oh, at 12:01, man, I'm staying up tonight for that new whistleblower album.
And he really did. In 2019, there was this huge story about him in the New York Times. And it's like, dude, look into the New York Times relationship with the government. You're sort of talking to the government already when you're talking to the New York Times. And he's doing all this while Trump is in office. So Trump is the government at the point he does this New York Times article. And he talks about how when his dad died, he got all of these files and everyone knew he had these files. Adam Schiff reached out to him at one point. The FBI reached out to him. And in this interview, he talks about the FBI wanting him to be a whistleblower and how excited he is to do it. And then he goes missing for a year.
Yeah, almost a year to the date, exactly.
Yeah. There was a couple of years, I think, in between that profile and when he goes missing. Because the profile, I think, came out in 2019, and he went missing in 2021. But he just goes missing, and I don't know what ever came of his Deutsche Bank information. Seems like not much, if anything at all. But he goes missing in 2021 in L.A., and then turns up, like you said, almost a year to the day later, dead on the campus of a California high school called Woodrow Wilson High School in the way they wrote it, it's El Sereno. I don't know if it's actually El Sereno, but California. And that was reported in late April of 2022. And I could not find shit else about the story after that, which I find that suspicious given his manner of death. The only other thing I found is the writer who did that original New York Times article eventually tweeted out the medical examiner's report that said this guy died of blunt force trauma to the abdomen, but that there was nothing suspicious about his death.
How does that even happen?
And I saw a thing that said he spent the weekend alone at that high school before he died. It's like, what? And the thing about him going missing, people were still in contact with him. His lawyer had talked to him in January of that year. His family had talked to him, but just no one knew where he was, apparently. And then he turns up dead at a high school in California. And that is the end of the story, as far as I can tell.
And what sucks most about him is he kind of died for no reason, because I think he greatly underestimated how strong the political cult of Trump is. Because even if all this stuff came out, he was already president. It's not like the people were going to be like, oh, man, he was working with the Russians. I guess I'm not going to vote for him. It's been proven new information doesn't change these people's mind.
Yeah, we knew by that point that it was going to take more than just a regular ass scandal to take Trump down. And this was kind of just a regular ass.
Yeah, and
scandal.
This might have just been like a petty murder, just because if it was a suicide, it's like it really wasn't going to change anything anyway.
Yeah. And there are people interviewed in the articles we'll link to who are really bothered by the insinuation that he might have been murdered. And one thing I noted about that is it wasn't family or friends. It was reporters he had talked to in the course of all this. And that doesn't do anything to make me feel better about what happened to him. We've done episodes before about CIA influence on the media. We know that the government can, when needed, pull the right strings to get the media to say what they want them to say. I feel like most governments are able to do that, ours especially. And yeah, some reporter he gave his information to being like, oh, am I part of the conspiracy now too? I don't know, man, maybe. Maybe.
But also, who the hell dies of blunt force to the abdomen at a high school?
Yeah, what the fuck happened? And just tell us what happened. I could not find a single other article that was like, hey, follow up. Here's how this guy died.
Practicing a badass kickflip and fell on a rail? How else did you hurt your abdomen at a high school?
I don't know. And presumably outside. He was found outdoors. So he wasn't even in the high school. He was just fucking around on the campus. I don't get it. It's weird. And I truly could not find a ton of follow-up. That said, let me tell you, finding four other suspicious whistleblower deaths on the internet right after a suspicious whistleblower death has happened is such a fucking challenge. Every result was just about John Barnett. And I would scroll and scroll and scroll, and then it'd be like Sacramento prison. Oh, okay, that's a new one. But oh,
man, you got to learn to use Reddit. That's why.
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah. I feel like if I use Reddit, I'm going to get people's opinions too.
Oh, yeah, it might just be a good way to source it, and then you go search them. Next time, just go to the conspiracy. I'm pretty sure it's a conspiracy subreddit, and type whistleblower, see what comes up.
Oh, yeah. I do that on Wikipedia sometimes when I need topics for this show. I'll just search conspiracy and see what it fucking tells me. So, Philip Haney, let's hear it from the right wingers listening to this. This is your moment. We're going to talk about one of your suspicious suicides. The death of Philip Haney. This is a weird one. He was a former Department of Homeland Security official turned whistleblower who wrote a whole entire book about how the Obama administration failed to protect America from terrorist threats, but also allowed those threats to infiltrate the highest levels of government. His book was called See Something, Say Nothing. He was found dead from a single gunshot wound to the head next to his car in a park and ride lot a few miles from his home on February 21st, 2020. The fact that he wrote this book makes me think he was not murdered by the government.
Also, my question is, okay, so did we even have any terrorist attacks? What do you mean they failed to prevent them? It sounded like they did their job.
Yeah, that's always the hallmark of a really shady conspiracy theory is, well, what end did the Obama administration do this? Because you're right, there weren't any terrorist attacks within our borders during the Obama administration. And it seems like his complaints actually start with the Bush administration. And even to the point that he says, I read a quote from just a write-up about his book. And he says, by the time Obama got to office, the Muslim Brotherhood was already infiltrating the government. And it's like, well, that implies that it was George Bush's fault. And Obama just kind of inherited it, like so many other things right-wingers blamed on Obama.
Yeah, and also infiltrating to do what? What is actually, what was supposed to be stopped? Because if his argument was domestic terrorists have infiltrated the government, I'll believe that, because I was just reading a book not that long ago that they tried to warn the FBI. They were like, hey, just so you know, white supremacists are infiltrating police departments all across America. And they were like, nah, that's not possible. We test that out. And I mean, they really don't need to infiltrate it when the history of policing is white supremacy. But yeah, he's saying terrorists. Look at who controls the police, the FBI, the CIA. That's homegrown shit. They don't need to infiltrate.
Yeah. And white supremacists infiltrating the police, like you said, that's just people getting jobs as cops. You're kind of upholding white supremacy just joining most police forces. And so, yeah, I think that would be the reason why police officials don't do shit about it, because they're mostly a bunch of fucking white supremacists themselves.
Yeah, and they protect themselves. So what did he say the Muslim Brotherhood was doing? What, making people's diet healthier, I guess?
Yeah, I actually kind of want to read the book, because there aren't a lot of specifics out there in the various articles and things about it in terms of what his actual complaints are. I did see that he sort of starts it with George W. Bush and says the problem was that George Bush defined the enemy as terrorism and not as Islam, which to me, I hear that and I'm like, oh, so you're racist.
That's exactly right. Like, what do you mean? Like, what?
Yeah.
So you mad that they not, the government isn't racist enough?
Yeah.
This kind of just sounds like some shit a right winger thought up because they thought Obama was Muslim or some shit like that.
I would say so. Yeah. So I'm interested to see what his specific claims are. I'll probably read his book just to see. But this guy, one, the government, he got away with writing the book. So what reasoning would they have to have killed him 4 years after that book came out? But also, he left a note that he taped to the dashboard of his car. He was found next to his car. But he also left a meticulous set of documents at his home explaining how he wanted his possessions distributed and his assets and how to access them and all that. That feels like suicide to me. That's a lot of work for a staged suicide, I think.
Yeah, and this guy didn't seem to make out a serious case, or maybe he was upset his book didn't get bought by Vice and turned into a documentary or something.
Maybe. And also his neighbors said he seemed depressed. He gave all his plants away to one of his neighbors right before he died, which...
Yeah, that kind of sounds like somebody that's on their way out, because
Yeah, a lot of that makes it seem like he really did commit suicide. That said, after he died, an FBI analysis of his computer and a bunch of thumb drives determined that, quote, many documents found are the property of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And Customs and Border Protection demanded to have those documents returned. They called them contraband documents. And the local sheriff's office complied. So I guess we will never know what's in those files. I don't like that part. Also, the gun that was used, they said was traced to him as the owner, but they actually traced it to the person it was registered to. And he said he was a friend of this guy and sold him the gun a few years ago. So that's kind of tracing the gun to him, but not really, because we just have that guy's word that he sold this gun to Philip Haynes.
Yeah, but this one seems at least plausible. Sound like just a nutty guy who was upset that America wasn't outwardly racist enough, I guess. I don't know.
It does sound like that. Because then the question is, so what? You want to ban Islam in the United States?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. What did you want the end game to be? Ban Islam?
That's going to be tricky. Talk about something that will start a jihad in this country. Probably that.
And what do you mean infiltrated? Outside of Rashida Tlaib, and I only know about her because I live in Michigan. It's not like it's a bunch of Middle Eastern or Muslim politicians in America anyway.
Yeah. I mean, unless he's talking about Saudi Arabia, which I guarantee he's not. We're never talking about Saudi Arabia when it comes to stuff like this. So who knows? I'll check out the book. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, the fact that he wrote the book makes me feel like he did not commit suicide. I feel the same way about Gary Webb. That's the guy who broke the story about the CIA selling crack. They did such a good job killing him in the media after that story came out. They didn't need to kill that guy. Just look at what has happened since that story came out. Nothing. That is arguably the hugest possible scandal in this country. And nothing came of that shit. So
something came of it, more a $1 billion prison industry. But nothing came from the government.
Yeah, no repercussions for the government. But
yeah, at that level, what they like, what you want us to do, discipline ourselves?
Yeah.
We had to fund the Contras. What you talking about?
Exactly. And fill those private prisons, right?
Right.
I honestly think Gary Webb, when he killed himself, was trying to make it look like the CIA did it, because he shot himself twice. And the Damn. First time was just through his cheek, which I do wonder if he was like, when people find me, they're going to be like, wait, he shot himself twice. The CIA must have done it. When you could definitely shoot yourself. I saw an internet video of guys shoot himself in the fucking cheek once. Open your mouth wide enough, that bullet, it's just going to hit your fucking cheek. You're not going to die. Then you shoot yourself in the head. Looks like you got shot twice. Now, we all think the CIA killed Gary Webb, but in this one fucking instance, I think they probably did not.
Yeah, because at that point, it's like the people that don't believe him anyway, it's nothing that's going to change your mind anyway. Oh, no. Black folks just all of a sudden got access to connections in Nicaragua, boats to bring kilos of coke. No way the government could have did that.
No. Yeah. You just drive down to Nicaragua, pick that shit up, bring it back to Detroit. So let's switch gears a bit and talk about a few whistleblowers who weren't targeting the federal government when they died. This first one's pretty crazy. Kevin Steele, he was 56 at the time when he died. He was a prison guard who made some pretty inflammatory claims about California State Prison in Sacramento. According to Steele, and you could knock me over with a feather when I heard this, so shocking to hear about corrections officers, but according to his claims, they had fake documents and planted drugs and weapons on inmates to obtain more overtime pay. What they would do is near the end of their shift, just plant drugs on someone, go in, find the drugs, and be like, oh, I got to stay a few hours late tonight to write this report. And they would get overtime for that. For that, they were willing to just ruin lives even further than they were already ruined by being in prison. He also alleged that guards would spread false rumors about inmates and relay details from inmate files to other inmates, and claimed that on at least two occasions, guards were directly involved in the killing of a Sacramento inmate. He told an attorney for an inmate at the prison that guards allowed inmates to conduct a practice run a week before two inmates killed a fellow prisoner who was handcuffed to a chair.
Yeah, and this all just sounds like regular cop shit, except instead of official cops, they were just correctional officers. But, man, this is at least, if you know inmates, you've been hearing for years, that's how most of the contraband gets in, through the correctional officers. They not getting searched. And the inmates that died, it was probably some type of extortion or something like that. The person they were extorting didn't want to kick up money or do whatever. And, you know, yeah, it's so much corruption in prisons, the entire prison industrial complex is a $1 billion thing, and entire economies run on prisons existing in these rural areas, you know?
Yeah. It kills me that corrections officers also have their version of the thin blue line, because what people don't take into, it's crazy that firefighters have it too, because what people don't take into account is that when police are saying the thin blue line, what they are saying is that they are the thin blue line that separates average law abiding citizens from the criminal element of the world. For corrections officers to have that, what they're saying is they are the ones who protect us from inmates, or what? No, the walls protect us from the inmates, you dipshits. You're just there to sell them cigarettes and blackmail
heroin
and shit. Yeah.
Heroin that you snuck in your Doritos bag. We also got to remember, these people have an inferiority complex. They couldn't make it on police, which already has a low standards for what you need to do to become a cop.
Yeah.
And I guess early spoiler warning for my plug, I just dropped a video about policing in America. So now in their mind, they're like, well, we just like the cops too, so we got to protect this and do that. But also, it's a lot of corruption, because you work and you're surrounded by criminals. And at the end of the day, they're going to believe you over the inmates anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a huge power imbalance. And that's why in a perfect world, there would be a lot of oversight and limits on what kind of interaction corrections officers can have with inmates. But there's not. So shit like this happens. At various points, Kevin Steele also went to prison officials above him with concerns about the treatment of a prison investigation unit employee named Valentino Rodriguez. He had tried to report misconduct within the prison and was harassed and ridiculed by his fellow colleagues over it. According to his claims, guards routinely used racial and homophobic slurs against inmates. They also harassed him personally with the same kind of slurs. And he claimed that when he went to his supervisors with this information, they told him to shut up about it or he would be replaced. And at one point, this guy, Valentino Rodriguez, texted his wife and said that his coworkers had found out he was the one filing these complaints about them. And she found him dead on the bathroom floor that night of a fentanyl overdose. But that's just an accidental death. Nothing to see here. That guy wasn't murdered at all.
Yeah, and as far as with him trying to tell higher people, the thing you got to realize is with these state prisons and federal prisons also, they're all in the rural parts of America. So you're essentially in a small town and at a job that the entire town's economy relies on. I just finished the book of The New Jim Crow. If anybody want to check it out, it's long as hell. I listen to the audio version. But yeah, these little rural areas, they all rely on these jobs. So he's like, they're looking at him like, dude, you about to mess it up for all of us. Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
They looking at it like we basically work at a zoo because the people that work in these jobs, they don't see the prisoners as people anyway.
There's a pretty interesting Apple TV show out there called The Mayor of Kingstown.
I've been meaning to start that. I heard it's really good.
It's really good, and it's about exactly what you're describing. It's a small town where the entire economy is a prison. And Jeremy Renner plays a guy who acts as a liaison between the police and criminals inside the prison. It's interesting. And yeah, I can imagine if you're in a situation like that, people are going to be really reluctant to hearing information that might, I don't know, shut the prison down. With Making a Murderer, Stephen Avery, the original true crime documentary series. I mean, it's not, but it's the reason every true crime documentary is 6 episodes now. People who are skeptical of him being framed are like, well, what motivation would the police have to frame this guy? He was about to win a lawsuit that was probably going to end that police department. A small town police department was not going to survive the kind of financial hit they were about to take. So many people had every reason to want to frame that guy. And they did, and they got away with it. And I can see that being a thing here, too. Who knows? But the entire rest of the team Rodriguez worked for were fired, and 10 of them are facing discipline over his death, according to a 2021 report. But nothing to see here.
Now, the only thing is the fentanyl overdose. It seems, I don't know, what is your theory on what that could be? Because unless he was just, I mean, it is a lot of people that regularly do heroin just casually. You know, a lot of people think that you can spot an addict walking on the street. There's a lot of functional addicts. So you think he just got a hot pack or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, it could be. It could be, you know, someone within the prison who he trusted maybe came over to talk to him and it happened that way. I don't know. Yeah. And it could have just been an accidental overdose that happened at a highly coincidental time. Coincidences do happen too. But yeah, I don't know. That's the thing about fentanyl. It doesn't take a lot of it to kill a person. You could have, I'm assuming you could dissolve it in a drink, kill a person that way too. So I don't know, but it's actually not the only death in this story. Because remember, we started by talking about Kevin Steele. About a year after Valentino Rodriguez, Kevin Steele turned up dead once again from a single gunshot wound to the head in Miller County, Missouri, where he had fled to after word of his reporting on fellow corrections officers got out. And as far as I can tell, the Rodriguez death was ruled an accident. Kevin Steele's death was ruled a suicide. And that's it. That's where the story ends. And I'm sure things are so much better inside that prison now.
Yeah. And the prison, what state is it in again?
It's in California. It was in Sacramento. It's in the capital of California. So not a small town. They have a sports team, at least.
Oh, it was in actual Sacramento proper?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because I know a lot of prisons and stuff are in smaller areas. I wonder, was that a minimum security prison or something? Because a lot of these prisons and stuff, they keep them kind of far away.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. That is true. But in California, like, you can't really keep people too far away because the state's so big. I mean, I guess you could. I don't know where in California these inmates committed their crimes. They could be from Southern California, and Sacramento is Northern California or kind of Central California. But it's, in terms of driving from LA, it's the state's drive away.
Yeah. Yeah. Drive. California is huge. It's like Texas, one of the places that people were like, oh, man, I don't understand why Americans don't go abroad more. Maybe because your entire country can fit in one of our states.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I got to see all of these states here first. We call foreign countries states. I still got stuff to see here. Although I did just go to Costa Rica and it was cool. All right, let's talk about this last one. Speaking of prisons, Gabriela Contreras. This one is very, very strange. She leaked surveillance videos from inside the Lewis prison complex in Arizona. And this is in, I'm pretty sure, a pretty small town. It's called Buckeye, Arizona. You ever been? Ever been to Buckeye, Arizona?
Right. I think Arizona only has one city that people heard of anyway.
Yeah, kind of Phoenix. Well, Phoenix, Scottsdale, Flagstaff. I can name Kingman, but only because I've driven past it on the way to Albuquerque a bunch. But yeah, I can't.
Scottsdale and Flagstaff ain't getting no star on the map, so they don't really count. Those are like C tier cities.
I did a great show in Scottsdale. We love you, Scottsdale. Or was it never Flagstaff? Heard of it. I don't remember. I just know it wasn't Phoenix, and I was like, oh, Phoenix would have been cool. Anyway, speaking of prison misconduct, Gabriela Contreras, did you watch this video?
No, I just read all of the notes.
It is nuts. What this video shows is that inside this prison she worked at, the inmate's cells didn't lock at all. So this video is of two corrections officers in a fight with two inmates. And as this fight is carrying on, all the other inmates are just opening their doors freely and seeing this happening and running down to join in this fight. And this was apparently a problem for 10 years at this prison, and they knew about it and just didn't fix it, which I can't fathom that.
Yeah, why does this even need to be leaked? This is something that employees are like, yeah, we're not coming to work today. Let's y'all fix the goddamn prison doors.
And see, I wonder if this is what you were talking about, because Buckeye, Arizona, I bet there's not a shit ton of jobs in Buckeye. And I bet what it was people would go to their superiors and be like, hey, we would like these doors fixed so we don't die at the job. And I bet those superiors were like, hey, there's a McDonald's in town that you could work at if you'd rather go do that. And so it takes someone like Gabriela Contreras to put this information out to the public so people outside that ecosystem can get outraged a little bit. Not only that, but she's the one who leaked the videos. And then Arizona launched an investigation and the governor ordered that the prison produce a report, a detailed report about every one of the locks that didn't work. And when they did those reports, the supervisors at the prison ordered the corrections officers to alter those reports before sending them back to the governor. And Gabriela Contreras reached out to the governor when that was happening and told him about that also. And she was anonymous for a long, long time, but finally gave an interview with a local ABC affiliate there. And just a little over a year after she initially leaked the videos and the story broke, police responded to a domestic disturbance call at her home and found her dead from a single gunshot wound to the head. They immediately ruled it a suicide and shut it down right away. And man, something about them responding to a domestic disturbance makes me feel like maybe the neighbors heard something more than a single gunshot, because otherwise the police would be responding to gunshots.
So, yeah, or at least another person or something like that. They didn't mention a boyfriend or anybody in the house. How the hell is it a domestic disturbance and then a suicide?
Yeah, and the fact that the neighbors called it a domestic disturbance makes me feel like they did hear possibly a man's voice in that moment, but immediately ruled a suicide and nothing else ever came of it. And with her, it's not even that she was at the finish line in terms of what she was trying to do. It got done. Because of what she did, there were like 1,000 locks that were replaced within that prison. The entire prison leadership was fired and replaced. The prison's name was changed. But also, again, small town, the prison is probably the main employer. So even though all that got done, you know there were still lots of people with a whole lot of motivation to want to kill her for no other reason than revenge, maybe.
People, yeah, they had some incentive for not wanting those locks fixed, you know?
Yeah, it's, and I wonder what that would be. Why would you not want to fix that? But as far as I can tell, there hasn't been any other investigation taken into her death. There's not even a lot of reporting about this one. It's the other prison story. There's a podcast series about it, and there's a bunch of information out there about this, but about that one. But this is local news reports mostly.
Well, what was her name again?
Gabriella Contreras.
Yeah, well, that's not exactly a name Americans really care about.
That's a good point.
Like, that's a little too ethnic for them to make a big deal out of. They're like, listen, we only get one cereal a decade for a foreign last name.
That's true. That's true. So,
no, seriously, though, if a minority dies, you better hope that it's enough circumstances for us to care about. I wrote a line in my newest video. The only reason the Eric Garner happened because everybody was home. Otherwise, that would have just been another Saturday or whatever in America.
Yeah. Yeah. So we could talk about more. I'm sure there's more that have even happened since 2020, but I put the 2020 limit on this one to just show how often this happens and also to rein it in a little bit. But there's more. There's lots of examples of whistleblowers throughout the years being suspiciously suicided, I guess is a good way to put it. And I don't doubt that John Barnett is another. And I don't doubt that nothing will ever come of it. Like, I can't imagine this being any different. I don't think anyone's going to get prosecuted for murder in the John Barnett case, but we'll see. You know what I almost put on the list was Jean-Luc Brunel. He was the European wing of the Jeffrey Epstein operation, and he also committed suicide under very suspicious circumstances after he was arrested. And that got a whole lot less attention than, I mean, for obvious reasons, than the Jeffrey Epstein thing, but still, it's pretty shady.
Yeah, yeah. It's, and also with the Boeing thing, like, that's one of what, two companies the average person can name that does airplanes? What? I know Boeing, and then I know, without Google, I know Rolls-Royce makes jet engines. They got such a large share of the market. They got buku money to do whatever. And there's so many people that has vested interests and things going away. It's just ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. Boeing would absolutely have the resources to make this happen. And I don't know. I can't imagine being skeptical enough to hear that John Barnett story and be like, come on, Boeing wouldn't do that. Boeing makes machines that kill people.
Right. I'm really curious how these people that just don't believe these stories, what level of privilege or how do you live your life that you just trust the government and police and all of that stuff?
Yeah, I can't imagine. And it's because the government has done such an amazing job of stigmatizing the word conspiracy. And once people can say, oh, so you believe conspiracies, then it's done. There's a whole portion of the population that's just not even going to engage in the conversation when they hear the word conspiracy. I send those booking emails out to book guests for the podcast. There are guests who respond for every single show, except the conspiracy podcast, every time. And I guarantee it's because they're liberals or progressives who don't believe right-wing conspiracies. And when they hear the word conspiracy, they immediately think right-wing conspiracies.
Yeah, like I said, like I always say, it's two Americas, because sometimes I listen to an episode, I'm like, oh, wait, that's a conspiracy? Every black person I know believes that. We just, a lot of stuff that people consider conspiracies, nah, we've been telling y'all this shit for years, that entire economies run on locking up black men. This entire book's written about this shit. Like, it would, U.S. government, would, I mean, the economy would literally change. There's literally lobbyists and stuff so that we don't, just to keep federal laws and stuff like it's, but yeah, I know we, it's not the plug section, but seriously, guys, if the audio version, check out the new Jim Crow, the 10th anniversary edition came out a couple years ago. That's when I listened to. So it, the original book came out in 2010. So it was written during Obama's era. So the 10th anniversary came out in 2020. So it's super interesting because she, the author, she goes into the failings of Obama, what Trump made worse, and why our system is just, it's deep as hell. It's way deeper than you can imagine. Even if you understand that, you know, that police perform off a white performance and just locking minorities up, but it's even deeper, the information in that book.
Yeah, people should check that out. I have not read it. I'll read that. And we should get the plugs because I think we have hit the end of the episode. Thanks so much for doing the pod. I appreciate it.
No problem.
What do I have to plug before we get out of here? YouDon'tPod.supercast.com. You can go there to get bonus episodes of Conspiracy the Show and all of our other shows. We still have a Patreon, also patreon.com/unpops, but there's only one level. It's $18 a month. You have more flexibility at Supercast, so check that out. And that's all I got for now. What else do you got to plug?
Just my YouTube channel, John Lewis, J-A-W-N, and it's Lewis like Louis Vuitton. That's the easiest way because I'm constantly changing the titles of some of my videos for the algorithm. But my newest one that's out by the time this comes out, it's basically, it's called, I just changed it to Why Police Corruption to Never Change. And yeah, it's basically about all of that stuff. But yeah, it's doing pretty good. My previous video flopped, but I'll tell y'all ahead of time, sorry for the audio. I had a bit of an audio issue. The game was peaking a little bit, but it's still worth the watch. And I'm working on my next video right now.
Nice. And I think that's it. Let's get the fuck out of here. John, say goodbye.
All right, guys. I'll hear y'all for the next conspiracy because the list is really short of guests.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
People of Earth. Your planet is about to be destroyed.